this group of excited, overwhelmed, anxious, jumping out of their skin, 7 and 8-year-olds stood outside the door, 100 of them waiting to get in. And Amy walked over, and she opened the door, and she let them all in, and they rushed past her, and they ran up to this table, and they started poking and prodding. They started wiggling the toes. They started trying to put all of their weight on the carbon fiber leg. One by one, each of these kids started playing with the 12 prosthetic pairs of legs that were laid out on the table, each trying to figure out how it would work, how they could walk in them, what it would be like and feel like. And Amy Mullins, stopped them all and said, hey, kids, we only have a minute here. But as you see, these are my legs, my 12 pairs of legs. And I was thinking this morning, I was thinking that I want to be able to jump over a house. Nothing too big, you know, just one story or two. But I want to be able to jump over a house. If you were going to design me a pair of legs that would enable me to jump over the house, and you could choose any animal on the planet or any superhero or cartoon character, these 7 and 8-year-olds got so excited. They started jumping up and down, and they were singing, you should be a kangaroo. We should make you kangaroo legs. No, one kid said, a frog. You should be a frog. One kid screamed out, go, 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 gadget. How about the Incredibles? Then you could jump over the house. And this one little 8-year-old, way at the back, raises his hand. And he says, how come you wouldn't want to fly? And she said, wow, yeah, I was limiting what I could do. It took the mind of an 8-year-old to show me that I could be and do something greater. You see, Amy Mullins was born without fibula bones in her legs. At the age of 1, she had both of her legs amputated right below the knee. And her parents made that heart-wrenching decision in order to be able to give her a more expanded life, a possibility of life. And she has become an actress, an athlete, an activist, and a fashion model. She has redefined what it is to be disabled. As she said recently at a TED Talk, she said, you know, I have less prosthesis in my body than Pamela Anderson, and nobody thinks of her as disabled. With those children, though, on that morning, she was able to take the discussion from disabled to super abled. We are at the point in our consciousness, in our evolution, in our society, where we can augment all of life, all of the possibilities of life. Amy's 12 pairs of legs, she lives here in Manhattan, are really amazing. She was the first woman that they designed the carbon fiber legs, modeled on a cheetah. Right, the hind legs of a cheetah, and it enabled her to set world records at the 1996 Paralympic Games. Right, later she went on to work for a fashion model in London, where they carved wooden legs that looked like boots for her. When she's walking around here in Manhattan, though, she has special legs designed with shock absorbers so that she can walk more easily. I want a pair. Right, and recently, she walked into a party, just had a new pair of legs made in London, and she comes a towering 6'1 when she puts on this pair of legs. Normal height is 5'8. But at 6'1, she says she has a whole new relationship to door jams. And she walked into the party, and one of her friends walked up to her and said, Amy, you're so tall. And Amy said, I know, isn't it wonderful? And her friend looked at her and said, it's not fair. And the great thing is that she meant it. She meant it. She was jealous of Amy's possibility of change, possibility of augmentation, possibility of life itself. And how often do we all do that, right? Look at someone who's differently abled and say, oh, but not before the grace of God go I. Can we rethink that? Someone who's differently abled and go, wow, what an opportunity for life. What an opportunity to know something different, to understand how life's adversities, life's situations, life's life, how life is the springboard for all that can be. Last year, she came back to the TED conference, and I had the privilege of watching her do an update on her life. And she said to this group who was listening, she said, you know, I had to imagine my life at every turn because what I do had never been done before. Without the power of my imagination, my visioning, my life would not have happened. I truly have never, ever felt the ground underneath my feet. But I wiggle my toes. And when somebody steps on my foot, I say, ouch. That's the power of imagination to create what has never been. We can all use her amazing example to set the North Star for our own lives, to set the standard for where we want to go, to imagine our lives magnificent, to imagine our lives stupendous, beyond anything that's ever been done before. You know, often the adults in our life, and most of the time that's just us, right, will tell us, you can't, you're dreaming too big, no one's ever done it before. You should be more realistic. And without thinking, without a moment's hesitation, we squelch that desire that is within us to do something unusual, to do something that hasn't been done before, to make a change inside and outside in the world. Today is Palm Sunday, right? And according to the Gospels, 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem today. And he rode into Jerusalem with a really clear idea of what he wanted to do. He wanted to create a heaven on earth, a kingdom of heaven right here and right now, not in some distant time or some far-off place, right here. It would often be quoted in many of the Gospels, you'll hear, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is amongst you. The kingdom of God is within you. And if the kingdom of God is within you, then it is up to you to fulfill that vision, to fulfill that desire that won't let you go, to fulfill that dream that has been implanted in you by life, by the universe, by God itself. So that you can step out and be something more than you've ever dreamed. Something that the world has never seen. Something that you know is yours to do. Now, I know a little bit about this, as Britt alluded to when he was introducing me. I've been on quite a journey since I arrived here at Unity of New York. And Unity has taught me many things. I know I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't be living the life I live now without these amazing teachings and teachers. Thank you. My mentor, my minister who preceded me and helped guide me, and Reverend Paul. Right? We all owe a debt of gratitude to those who come before us. But there's a point where we spring past and we create our own lives and our own situations and our own truth. our own truth. My husband and I decided a while ago when we moved to California that we wanted to become parents. And many of you have been following my story. I blog about it, I write about it, I post about it. And it's not been an easy journey. It's not. Never is parenthood, right? All the parents, can I get an amen to that? Right? Amen. But we set out to become adoptive parents, and we went through two difficult situations where we were matched with a young woman and she was expecting. And the last one happened a year ago. We were in the hospital when the baby was born, and we held the baby and were ready to take it home. And the birth mother changed her mind. And we had to say goodbye to that beautiful young man. And I wrote about it at the time, and I said, you know, I hold this principle to be very, very close to my heart, that my good comes at no one else's detriment. My good does not come from someone else's loss. So however excruciating that moment was, it was not our child to raise. And we openly, honestly, and publicly spoke about that situation. When we got home that week, we got a phone call from this young woman, and she said, I have been following you on Facebook, and my husband and I think you guys are great, and you should have a child. So we'd like to have a child for you. And we stuttered, and we took a deep breath, and we said, well, you mean you want to be our surrogate? We said, we get lots of calls for surrogates, thank you. We're not interested in a surrogate. We've decided that our vision, our sights are set on helping a child, raising a child that is already on the planet that needs us. That is our North Star. That is our mission and our vision. And she said, no. We don't want to be your surrogate. We just think that you guys should be parents. We think you deserve to be parents. And we'd like to conceive and have a child for you. And we said, okay, let us call you back. Because there's a crazy woman on the phone. And so we called our lawyers first thing. And then we prayed, and we thought about it, and we thought about it. And we called her back, and we talked to them again. And we said, come up and visit. So they live in California also, and they came and visited us. They have two beautiful young children. And we played with their children. We spent the day with them. We talked about how this would work. We talked about all those things. And we said, okay, let's see what the universe has in store. Now, she had a six-month-old baby at the time when she was nursing. JD and I knew she wasn't getting pregnant anytime soon. But we said, let's see what life has to store. We stepped out and said, yes, this is our vision. This is what we say we want. The universe will reward you, supply you, give you what you ask for, but not from where you expect it to come from, right? Often, our good is coming to us from so many different places that we cannot even imagine today, cannot even envision, because it hasn't been created yet. So JD and I went about our business. We went about our holding to our vision, our North Star. And we said, you know what? There are many, many, many children in need. There are many, many children who we would love to know. So we finished our foster parent certification. And we went down to our foster agency. And we're shown hundreds, literally hundreds, of photographs and bios of children who were needing a family. And this one wouldn't let me go. This one picture just jumped off the page at me. And this one young man kept calling to me. So we asked about him, and we asked about him, and we went through the whole process of having to be certified and said yes. And we were finally introduced to him. And I'm delighted to say that he has become our son. He's sitting here today, and he's 16 years old, and we have all the wonderful things and all the crazy things that a 16-year-old will bring into your life, and I wouldn't trade any of it for a second. He challenges me every day to be bigger and better than I think I can be. I thought ministry was doing that, and parenthood has it tenfold, as all you parents know. Every day, he rewards us. He moved into our house on October 14th. On November 17th, our wedding anniversary, we get a phone call from the woman in Bakersfield, California, and she's pregnant. As we did the math, we realized that she conceived on October 14th, the day that Lamai moved into our house. Truly, the universe rewards you in ways you cannot begin to imagine. Now, many of our friends are cautioning us. Be careful, you know this may not work out, or you never know what's going to happen. And we have steadfastly refused to squelch our joy, to limit our enthusiasm, or to celebrate our process for fear of what might happen. When Jesus, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he didn't ride on the donkey going, oh, shit. I didn't read that anywhere in Scripture. Right? He went in saying, I know that the kingdom of heaven is available here and now, that the kingdom of heaven exists within me. And as I step out in faith and hold to my North Star, hold to that vision, that my good will come to me. Yeah, you might even say, Paulette may be talking to you about this next week. I don't know that he knew how much he'd have to go through. We do know from Scripture that he had his doubts, right? We do know from Scripture that he had his troubles along the way. But we do also know that he kept saying yes to life, no matter what. Kept saying yes to all the possibilities that existed before him. Now, the image of the North Star has really great significance for me because in my community back at Unity in San Francisco, we have been creating a new vision statement. And I spoke to Reverend Sonia, who many of you met last week. She actually used to be the minister at Unity San Francisco before I did. So we're just switching here this week. And she told me that you're going to be going through that process here. You know, you've been through a lot as a community. I've witnessed some of it with you. I've held you in prayer. And you have the opportunity right now to set your course wherever you want to go. What do you want Unity New York to be? What do you see as its potential? Its vision, its mission, its core values. Where do you see this community? Set that vision right out in front of you and keep taking step after step after step on a donkey if you have to. But keep moving towards that vision every day. You see, the thing is about a North Star, about a lighthouse, about a beacon anywhere, you don't actually ever make it. What you do is you use it as a way to experience your journey, to set the course towards where you want to go. But the journey itself, the time on the road, is the best part of the journey. That's where the heaven is experienced, on your way to your destination. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's no need to wait. This morning, this moment, this day at Unity New York is perfect. It is heaven. You don't have to wait for the next minister to be appointed or ordained or decided upon. You can enjoy it, celebrate it, and live it right here and right now. Hosanna! Blessed is he and she who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of knowing that right here and right now I can experience the truth of life, the joy and the celebration of love and the over and the overwhelming peace that comes from knowing that you are loved and that you have more love in you than you ever, ever could give away. There is no limit, no limit to the amount you can love someone. There is no limit to the amount you can create and be. Amy Mullins, Jesus of Nazareth, my son, my whole life's journey has taught me this. The kingdom of heaven is within me. Today, I choose to envision a life beyond my wildest dreams. A life that I look forward to knowing what's going to happen next. A life filled with love, joy, and peace. Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed are you as you come in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Ready to spring forth into that greatness. As you know how blessed you are, and you claim it and you announce it together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
Take a deep breath and sigh it out. If there is any doubt in your mind about how blessed you are, take in a breath and sigh that doubt out. You may choose to adjust your position in your seat so that you're sitting in a way that you can breathe in as deeply as possible and exhale slowly So your feet may be on the ground, making contact with the ground, and you've put aside anything you might be holding in your hands. You've allowed your shoulders to fall from your ears. And imagine that there is a golden cord attached to the crown of the head, extended to the heavens, holding the head upright. And now scan your body, beginning with your toes in your shoes. Uncurl your toes and invite them to relax, which sends a signal through the entire body that it's time to let go. And so you begin to feel relaxation move up through your legs, to your hips and pelvis, up through the spinal cord, around the torso, relaxing the tummy, the chest, and those short shoulders fall a little bit more as relaxation moves through the arms all the way down to the fingertips, which signals the neck to relax and let go, and then the entire face, relaxation in the jaw. In fact, open your mouth wide one time to relax the jaw, and so the eyes and the corners of the eyes relax, the back of the head, the crown of the head, the breath. As we breathe our way to stillness, letting go of all doubts and concerns, circumstances that feel bigger than us, but they're not. We are heading to the secret place of the Most High within, wherein dwells the one presence and one power greater in us than any circumstance, any fear, any idea of lack or limitation, loneliness, diminished ideas of any kind. So take in a deep, deep breath, hold the breath, and sigh out one more time. Once more, deep breath in. Hold the breath and sigh it out. And now, breathing deeply yet gently, we rest, we wait, we listen in the stillness of the silence. Let your next breath take you even more deeply into the stillness, to that place within where there is no shadow of a doubt of exactly how incredible, gifted, wise, empowered, strong, favored you are. Rest there in that consciousness and breathe. Open the portals of your heart to that life that is calling you forth into even more greatness in the stillness of the silence. And now we begin our journey in consciousness back to this time and place, becoming aware again of our position in the seat, in the sanctuary, feeling the air as it touches our skin, noticing the sounds around us, and that deep sense of empowerment bubbling up, welling up from within us. Wiggle your toes, wiggle your hands, shrug your shoulders, take a deep breath. Take in a deep breath and hold the breath, and then release. Now hold the breath and squeeze and clench everything, every muscle as tightly as you can, and release. One more time, a deep breath in, hold, squeeze, clench, and release. Now you may choose to vigorously rub your hands together and place your warm hands over your eyes and open your eyes behind the back of your hands with lowered lids to adjust to the light. And as you draw your hands down, back to this time and place, knowing who you are, knowing you are fully equipped to follow with courage your North Star. Namaste.